Let's take our Bibles. We're going to continue in our series this morning. And like I said a minute ago, this is my favorite Sunday to preach because it's that Sunday that helps to bridge this year into the next year. I can't think of a better theme than what we're talking about right now, and that is better together. This is something that I strongly believe in. I watched again, and maybe some of you watched during the holiday season or you saw reference to the movie It's a Wonderful Life. There's a line at the end, it's in the Tom Sawyer book that Clarence gives to George, and he says, if you have friends, a man who has friends is not a failure. You're not a failure if you have friends, and you are my friends. We are in this together. We are better together. It's not just a thing I've come across, it's something that Paul spent a lot of time talking about. And whether or not you credit Paul with the letter to the Hebrews or the Hebrew letter in the New Testament, there's a phrase in there that says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some are in the habit of doing, yet all the more as we see the day approaching. We need to spend more time with God's people. We become, I keep this bucket up here because it reminds me, we become what we put in this. Our lives will become. And you want to know what 2019 is going to look like? What are you going to put in this? What are you going to allow in this? Are we going to be in the Word? Are we going to be with our family? Are we going to be worshiping? Are we going to be desiring to grow? As the Sunday school lesson talked about, Jesus growing in wisdom, stature, favor with man and with God. That should be our hope. And so this morning we're going to talk about probably one of the toughest one another statements, and that is admonish one another. Admonish one another. Let's go to the next slide, if you don't mind, Lori. This is something I've shared every week. I want to read it to you, and then I'm going to have you help me on the last line. We aren't meant to go through life alone. This life journey is long, and that's why God created us to live connected to one another. I always find it beneficial to be surrounded by people who can encourage me while also holding me accountable. There's that admonition, holding me accountable. And let's read the last line together. We are all better together. You understand that. We are all better together. The scripture today is in Romans 15, if you want to look there, verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. That's the King James. That's where we get the word admonish. It says you are full of goodness, knowledge, able to admonish one another. Let's look at a couple other translations. NIV, I myself am convinced, has the same, and then the last three words, instruct one another. In the New Living Translation, teach each other. So whether the word is admonish or instruct or teach, there's this directive that we have as part of the body of Christ. It's not enough that we just show up from time to time. It's not enough that we gather in a Sunday school class and share prayer requests and coffee and pray and laugh and study the Word. It's this idea that we have a deeper responsibility to connect with each other. And part of that responsibility is teaching each other, instructing one another, admonishing each other. One writer has said this, confrontations have great potential, both for positive growth and for negative reaction. But Paul is writing the church in Rome, telling them, I am thankful for your capacity to teach, instruct, to admonish each other. We have that capacity. It's an instruction, counseling, warning, rebuke, admonish one another, a mutual confrontation. Over the years, I've had people, and I trust these people that have come to me with concerns, spiritual people that truly are, and we'll get to the phraseology in a little bit, full of goodness, as it says, and full of knowledge, that they've instructed me, they've helped me along the journey. I need that. Can I tell you that? I need that. And I need to do that with you. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. But this is our responsibility, part of it, as this one another body, to instruct, to teach, to help each other along this journey. The first step sometimes can involve warning or rebuke. Look at what Paul says here. This admonishing one another is a mutual confrontation. You have the next slide there? I may have put that up there. I don't know if I did or not. No, I'm sorry. I was going to review. Let's review quickly. Thank you for reminding me. Romans 15:7. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Accepting one another as Jesus has accepted you. Why? To bring praise to God. Question, what is happening in me right now that is bringing praise to God? I thought about that this week in preparing for the sermon. What is going on in my world? What are my actions? What are my attitudes? What's my mindset? What am I thinking? How am I responding to people that is bringing praise to God? A good question to ask ourselves as we go through, kind of, and we'll get to the very end after a while. What is my motive in what I do? What is my motive? Let's go on to the next slide. Thank you. Paul's statement says, we admonish one another and implies mutual confrontation can be expected in the normal life of the confrontation. A congregation, we're called to encourage one another, absolutely, but this teaching, instructing, admonishing goes deeper than that. The first step of the process requires this kind of warning or rebuke. Galatians 6:1, and what does Galatians 6:1 say? Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person. This is a hard one for me. I love being Barnabas. Can I tell you that? I love encouraging other people, other pastors, other Christians. I just love encouraging people. I encourage people who aren't even Christians. I just like to do that because I think there's not enough of that in the world. There's a lot of discouragement that goes along. There's a lot of cynicism that goes out there. But what about the encouragement? But this is something that I think is crucial. And Paul included this, so we want to include that today. When we see people who are struggling, we have a responsibility. Can we say the word responsibility together? Responsibility. That's a big word. We live in a society that does not embrace responsibility. In fact, we live in a time where people embrace irresponsibility. I probably shouldn't talk about that so close to New Year's. Well, no, it's all right. We need to learn what it means to be responsible. We have a responsibility to restore that person. Paul goes on, though, to say this, but watch yourselves that you be careful that you are not tempted as well. Let's look at the next slide. What does that look like? Learn a little Greek this morning. You don't have to write this down. I just thought I'd show it to you so you can see that I don't make up these words. Okay. I like to dig and find these words because the word restore, katarizo, and I pronounced that wrong, sorry, katartizo. Katartizo means this. It means to adjust properly, exactly fit, to be in good working order. Adjust it exactly down to fully function. I think about it this way. If you're going along in your car and you hear this rattling noise, you stop at your local garage, Gary Springer, you stop at your local garage and you say, hey, I hear this knocking noise, and Gary lifts the hood or climbs underneath, and he looks and he says, well, here's your problem. There's a nut loose under here. And so he tightens that thing down. He restores it to its proper fitting. You back out of his driveway, head down the street like, wow, that's much better. That's much better. That's what we're called to do as we see people out there. In other words, God doesn't want any loose nuts running around out there, okay? You know? He doesn't want that. He desires that we are properly fitted. Did somebody point at their neighbor and say he's talking about you? Is that what I heard? Okay. All right. I didn't mean for that to happen. But to be in proper working order, to properly function, we can't just be running loosely, willy-nilly out there. God has that fit for us, and that's what restoring is all about. Another word. Let me see if I put that up there. Let's look at the next slide. Yes, this is another word, one more Greek word here, which talks about admonishing, appealing to the mind, supplying doctrinal and spiritual substance, nutheteo. This exerts positive pressure on someone's logic, urging them to choose to turn to God's best. That's what part of this admonishing is all about. We want people to turn to what is best for them as God directs them. In fact, can I just tell you my job every week? Is to do that, is to somehow, as we look at Scripture, as we're participating in life together on a Sunday, to say, I'm God help me get in that person's mind for just a moment, not to make them think like I think, but to help them think like you want them to think according to your word and to your will. That's what this is about. That's what it's about. And we're called to do that. Can I just say this about Sunday school classes and home groups? We're a team, and we're called to do that, you know? We can either, as a team, we can either pick each other off or we can lift each other up. You know, we have that, we have a responsibility. In fact, in Sunday school class, you have a roll sheet, Does your class have a roll sheet? It's called your responsibility list, okay? If you see somebody that hasn't been in class for a couple, 2 or 3 weeks or so, you have a responsibility because of your responsibility list to call that person, to say, hey, I've been missing you. You doing okay? That's part of that restoring. That's part of that admonishing. That's part of that keeping each other accountable. We don't just say, well, I made it. That's all. In our first church, we had a Sunday school class. It was the oldest age group in the church. And we had this, between Sunday school and church, we had a time where we would honor birthdays and anniversaries and take testimonies, and we would report on Sunday school that morning. And the big question was, did any class have perfect attendance? And this class would probably 3 out of 4 Sundays, we had perfect attendance. Oh, that's awesome. Those people are dedicated. I was so thrilled. One Sunday, their teacher was gone. They asked if I'd step in and lead the class. I did. I looked at their Sunday school roll. I found out why they had perfect attendance. They had gone through over the past several months, and if somebody was missing for all, they just marked them off the list. Sure, they had perfect attendance. They didn't care. They came, they reported gladly between Sunday school and church. We had perfect attendance because we marked them. They're with us. They're just not in Sunday school. So that's not what this is about. That's not what this is about. We're called to pray for, encourage, support. All these one another statements, a part of that is the instruction and the admonishing so that no one is left out. Why? We do it because we want to bring praise to God. Yeah. Now, before we do this, there's a couple prereqs I want to give you about this idea of admonishing and teaching each other, okay? The first thing is being full of goodness. Believers must have one another's best interests in mind. You're going to come back to this one word. I'm going to keep giving it to you, and that's the word motive, okay? Our motive, as we are full of goodness, what does that mean? It means that we are carefully watching to make sure that we have that log removed from our eye before we try to pick the speck out of somebody else's eye, your motive. Your motive. And what's the motive? We want the other person to get to heaven, you know? And just because somebody at some point, sometime, somewhere makes a confession of Jesus doesn't mean that's all there is. That's just the start. That's just the start. And we as holiness people, that's what this idea of full of goodness, he didn't do this, but I almost wish Paul would have just said full of holiness, because that's what this goodness is about. Godliness is what he's talking about. Goodness is not like, you know, I tipped the waiter a great deal last time I was in the restaurant. That's not goodness. That's not what he's talking about in this perspective. He's talking about godliness. And that, what is the best interest for the people around me? I want them to know more about Jesus because of what he's done in my life. I want them to know that as well. Another thing is full of knowledge, full of God's word. Basing our teaching, our instructing, and even our admonition that we give to other people, base it on God's word. In other words, know the facts. That's another thing that may or may not be part of God's word. Knowing the facts could be just because I read it in the newspaper, heard it on the radio, saw it on social media does not mean it's true, okay? Know the facts as well. So make sure you have all the correct information. Then there's the way that we admonish each other, the way that we teach each other. I don't think I put some slides up there for that, but we do it out of love, out of deep concern, out of love. We walk with that person. As we were studying, and our teacher does a great job every week in our class, Kay does just a great job of bringing the lesson and helping us to think through the lesson and all the things surrounding what's happening in the scripture. One of the things that struck me today as she was teaching was Jesus was right there, and he was fully aware of what was going on in the temple. He was mindful of these things. So as Jesus became an adult and as he was growing in stature and favor with God and man and wisdom as well, that Jesus had this awareness. And that's why I think about that, knowing the facts. But as he did this, he did it in love. Jesus had deep concern. In fact, one scripture says he saw them as like sheep without a shepherd. He was moved in his heart, moved in his heart. Another thing is, if we need to call somebody out, we do it privately. I'm not talking about privately like posting it on their social media page. That's not privately, okay? That's not. I'm talking about you sit down with that person quietly, one-on-one, face-to-face. Take them out for coffee or pie or something and just sit with them and in love and listen. First of all, do a lot of listening. If you need to instruct, admonish, or correct someone, do a lot of listening. Because you may learn, I've had this happen with fellow Christians and fellow pastors. I hear something, but then when I sit down with a person face to face and hear their heart, it's like this whole different story, and it makes so much more sense as to what's happening privately. And then also, to be effective, you may have to do it persistently. Just because we sit down and talk with somebody one time, we know this raising children, don't we? That if your child does something wrong, it's like, well, you know, I corrected them that one time and that was all she wrote. That's all we had to worry about. It just fixed everything from then on. We don't do that with our kids. We shouldn't do that with each other. Well, I told them one time. No. We continually instruct. We continually teach. And then the most important part of this that I've underlined and highlighted is motives. Motives. We want others to become more committed, more effective, more immersed in what it means to be in the kingdom of God. That's why if I seem to get onto people for skipping out on church or get onto people for whatever other issues, it's not about coming to see me. You come to Sunday school, you know? Get involved in a home group. There's so many other ways as well. And I'm just thinking, you know, this idea is not about for me, it's about for each of us in growing as part of his kingdom. So as I do this, I have to evaluate my life. This is my own little thing. How is my life? Am I that person that is full of goodness? I think Paul put that in there in Romans for a very specific reason. Because it's easy for me to look at others and to call out others. Now, whether or not I even do it verbally, or whether I tell Janie or not, but just in my mind and heart, calling out other people, I have to wait and say, wait, God, is my life full of that goodness? Do I really know your word about this? Can I admonish someone else with that deep love and concern for them? What is my motive? Well, it goes back to Romans 15:7. In order to bring praise to God. In order to bring praise to God. I'm going to pause for just a moment here and have a prayer, and then I want to finish up the sermon. So would you mind, let's just bow our heads for a moment, stand together. Would you join me? I want to invite you to come pray at the altar this morning. And I want to ask you some questions, heads bowed, eyes closed, and then we're going to come back and wrap up the sermon. Are we involved in this thing of teaching, instructing, and admonishing each other in the body of Jesus? Are we involved? And I guess another side of that question is, if somebody comes into our life and they bring a teaching, an instruction, or they admonish us, how do we respond? How do we receive that? My concern is that we don't do either one. My concern is that we just like, you know, well, they've got their life to live, and I've got my life to live, leave well enough alone. You mind your business, I'll mind my business. In the body of Jesus, it doesn't work that way, okay? If as we follow Scripture, because we're part of this one another. Maybe there's somebody in your family that you just need to have a teachable moment with, or a friend or a coworker. Maybe there's something in your life that you're thinking about this morning. You're like, you know, Jim, this idea of teaching and instructing, I love it. And I got a lot of stuff I want to say, but I've got stuff that needs to happen in my life first. See, that's why I wanted to pause right here, just to kind of do a little check and say, how is it in your soul this morning? How is it in your heart? Sometimes we will want to admonish or instruct other people when we have some very similar problems in our own life. We're trying to just kind of deal with our problems by picking on their problems. I told you, this is a heavy teaching. Is there anything you need to come pray about this morning? How are things in your soul? Maybe you just want to step out and come to the altar. Anymore, the altar is almost such an outdated concept, but so needed, I believe. so needed. Anything you need to pray about in your life this morning? Anybody you feel like maybe the Lord's laid on your heart to connect with and you want to endeavor to step into their life and you're like, hey, before I can step into their life, I need to make sure my life's okay. Would you like to come pray about that? Maybe this morning you're feeling like, you know what, I struggle with this because I haven't really seen it work, or I've just seen it and called it judgment and I don't want any part of it. Maybe you want to come pray about that and just say, Lord, help me to get on a right footing. In the physical sense, when the body suffers, you know, if you go to the doctor and he says, you know what, to treat this, we're going to have to do some cutting and then put some stitches, and you don't just stop saying, no, we're not going to do it, No, you just trust the doctor. We need to trust Jesus on this, that sometimes in our lives, he needs to do a little surgery. And probably the question is this morning, am I full of goodness? Am I full of the knowledge of his word? How am I doing? Because I need some surgery and I want to help others around me, but I first of all need some surgery in my life. Anybody want to come pray this morning? Just step out. Maybe you want to come and pray for others in your world. You know, part of that resolve that Jerry and Jody sang about is that we're going to get our lives intertwined with others who need Jesus, and we're going to need to help that journey with them. So maybe you want to come and pray for people that you want to touch this year, minister to this year. Anybody want to come pray? This is a hard message. And maybe you want to come, and I invite Sunday school teachers on this one. You've had somebody who hadn't been in class for a long time, and maybe you don't even have that passion to reach out to them, and maybe God needs to prick your heart this morning and say, hey, because that's my class, I'm teaching that class, I'm responsible. That's my responsibility list. You know, this is one of the things I struggle with as a pastor. Maybe you want to come pray for your Sunday school class, that everybody will kind of get on board and say, hey, we want to reach these kids, we want to reach these teens, we want to reach these adults. How are we doing, folks? Sunday school teachers, are we all in on this? That's part of being a teacher. It's part of being a teacher. And staff, we have a responsibility. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit after this prayer. Jesus, in these moments, I realize that Paul just stuck this verse in here, just quickly stuck it in and moved on. But Father, this is something that's gotten stuck in my throat and my heart this week about what it means to teach and instruct each other. Not that you're calling us to be a hard nose, but you're calling us to be filled with your goodness and your grace and your wisdom and your word. And then, Lord, I pray that you're giving us that compassion and that desire to see other people come in, Jesus. We don't want anybody to miss heaven. And sometimes, and I'm guilty of this too, we'll kind of have our Christian, just our chit-chat back and forth, and we'll joke about different things. And Father, I think this word admonish is a big, big word. And I pray that you will help us this morning to truly get a vision for what that means. And we're not going to stop and name names, but Lord, I'm picturing those in my mind right now. People that just have been in. People that have been on fire. But have drifted. They're just drifting. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see people who know of Jesus and who have testified about Jesus to be drifting out there. I don't know where they're at spiritually, Lord, you do. But I pray that you would fill me with your goodness, your word, your knowledge, to be able to connect in this new year, to be able to instruct and to teach and to admonish others in the body of Jesus. Hey, quit sitting on the sidelines. Let's get in the game. Let's build the kingdom. This is huge. Jesus, I realized this morning there are more people outside of the church than there are inside of any church. Combine all the churches in this county, and there are more people outside than there are in today. Physically, spiritually, relationally. It's a big task you have around us. And Father, we know the fields are ready and we want to be ready too. So help us, we pray. Jesus, we lift up the needs at the altar today. And I know this is a heavy word and I'm still going to just be chewing on it for the next 2 weeks at least. Father, help me to understand what this looks like. And help me when I feel that teaching, that instruction, even that rebuke from others, help me to receive it and to listen and find what's teachable and helpful in building your kingdom, Jesus, in building your kingdom. We love you, Lord. We commit all these prayer needs to you. We thank you. As we look into a new year, we believe you're going to do some awesome stuff. But Lord, it's as we move together forward that this happens. And Lord, at times, as we think about that word admonish, at times it can look a little messy, but we're going to trust you to help us, and we're going to lean on you, and we're going to give you thanks. Bring healing, bring your touch, bring clearness this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And we have some others that want to come pray. That's fine. Feel free. You have a seat. We're going to wrap up the sermon here. Let's just take a minute and be in an attitude of prayer. Anybody else want to come and pray? Just to commit these moments to the Lord. That we want to make sure that as we're moving forward, you know, just commit these things to the Lord. Just commit these things to Him. Jesus, help us to have that deep love and concern. And may our motive, Lord, may our motive line up with your motive for us, Lord. Your motive for us. I think while we're waiting in an attitude of prayer, we just need to say the Lord's Prayer together because it really encompasses all of what we're talking about this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I just pray that as we look into this new year, that his kingdom would come in you. His kingdom would come in you as it's happening in heaven. That what we do would reflect. So that if people want to know what Christians look like, what ambassadors for Jesus look like, that they can look at us and say, not only is that an ambassador for Jesus, but they are reflecting what's happening in heaven. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. That's a big deal.